Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Shake it up, baby!
Shake it up, baby!
Twist and shout!
Twist and shout!
That's the Isley Brothers bringing us back from the Wayback Machine, 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks for hanging out with me. I am the Small Business Advocate in my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. And the one for my book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. John Harrison is our guest, our good friend, longtime Brain Trust member, author of Making Mammoth Serve You. His new novel is coming out in December, Fighting Back. That's the title. We'll tell you more about that later on. Just teasing you a little bit with it now. John, you're helping us understand what we can learn from the Clinton, what you and I can learn about our personal finances, right, from the Clinton returns. What else can we learn?
Well, is that even people with a lot of money don't always manage it ideally.
Huh.
One of the things that comes out when you look at the return is that they earned $23,560 of interest from J.P. Morgan Chase Bank. And what that implies is that they have way too much idle cash.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on the interest rate we assume they are earning, the average rate for all CDs last year was 0.51%. If they earned that rate on the money, it implies $4.6 million in cash. If they earned the 0.01%, that is the average savings account rate in this country, it implies $23 million in cash. Any way you slice it, that's way more cash than anyone needs to have. We financial advisors always tell people, you know, if you're in your prime working years, you might need 6 to 9 months' worth of your expenses in cash. If you're approaching retirement age, you might need up to 2 years' worth of your expenses in cash. They paid $41,000 in mortgage interest, so there's you know, they don't have huge expenses, but with anywhere from $4 to $20 million in cash, that's money that's earning less than the inflation rate. For anybody else, they'd be, you know, going broke slowly by doing that.
Right.
The Clintons have no fear of going broke,
but
it's bad management, and it's always interesting to see people who talk about relating to average.
Do you think that they're worried about making investments for fear that they will be questioned, that there's less of a light, they're less of a lightning rod if they just have it in cash?
That may be part of it, especially after that commodity scandal from all those years ago. The trading scandal where she made a bunch of money on a trade.
But they could put it in a blind trust or something, couldn't they?
Yes. I mean, there's got to be things that don't show up on the return. But it's interesting, the other thing that shows up on the
return. Because a personal return is not like a business return.
Right.
A business return has the financial statement and the balance sheet in the back.
Right.
Personal return just has, it's just about your income, right?
Exactly.
So this wouldn't necessarily have their investments in it, would it?
It wouldn't have everything. If they own it directly in their own names,
right,
then
right.
The flow-through should show up on this return. But
right.
There's all sorts of other ways to own things.
Right. All right, what else can we learn?
Well, they got $84,000 in change in dividends from a Vanguard 500 index fund. And what's interesting to me is that it's the only listed fund. It implies a completely non-diversified portfolio because there should have been some dividends or capital gains distributions from some other fund if they had some other fund. But they had just the one.
Just the one K-1.
Yeah, and the and it's not even, like I say, it's just an index mutual fund that they personally owned. And given the 2.11% dividend yield of that fund, it implies $3.9 million in the fund for the year. And that's a lot of money to have in a non-diversified portfolio.
But aren't you quibbling? I mean, who are you and me to say how they should manage their money?
Well, only in the sense that most people, regardless of income, feel it's a prudent thing to have a diversified portfolio that you personally own. And
they're like me. Maybe they don't like Wall Street either. Although, I mean, we know they like their speaking fees. But you know, I don't trust Wall Street.
Well, when you got to understand that when you're owning a mutual fund, it's not somehow so much benefiting Wall Street as you get to own a little piece of.
Right. No, that's true. When it's diversified, if it's diversified.
Yeah. In this case, their index fund is a piece of the 500 biggest companies that are going.
Right.
So, you know, while on the one hand, they can rail against big business on the campaign trail, but we own it. and
right.
the average person not only can, but
right.
needs to own these things, whether it's in their 401k or their IRA or the different ways that you can buy into these things.
Mm-hmm.
You certainly aren't going to get the kind of returns you need to get if everything is in cash in a bank or everything is being lent to someone because you're buying bonds or other debt type of investments. So I think one of the great things about America is that you can be an owner of some of the greatest companies in the world.
Oh yeah,
I'll never have the money of.
So you're saying that particular thing is a good example of what we all should do.
Yeah, it's just that we all should do more broad variety in it,
right.
Rather than having just the one. But yes, that's a good thing for everyone to do.
Mm-hmm.
So.
All right. What else can we learn?
Well, I think those were the main points I wanted to make in terms of what's on the tax return. There's all sorts of interesting things that's maybe primarily political in terms of how much came in speaking fees and various things like that. But
how much did they make in speaking fees?
Well, last year he made $5.2 million and she made $1.47 million.
I'm a public speaker. You're a public speaker. Mine was something less than that. Was it yours?
My fees are typically smaller. I'm not sure why, but also books have treated them well. They get advances for books.
Yeah, they did good for them. Hey, you know what? Good for them.
Yeah.
This is America. This is the thing I try to get. I'm trying to get across the Obama administration.
Mm-hmm.
In America, we don't begrudge people of being successful.
Well, unless you're a Bernie.
I'm envious of Bill Clinton for making that kind of. I don't want him back in the White House. I think it'd be a disaster for him to be wandering around the White House with nothing to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I admire him for being able to give those kind of speeches and make that kind of money.
You used to be able to say that.
Good for him. Good for him, and I mean that. Tim Taylor, right back with John Harrison. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.